also very grateful for the song service this morning because it put things together so well for the sermon. And I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into understanding issues of love and issues of fear and issues of trust and how the three make us or break us. You know, many crimes are committed because of fear. Right? Many relationships fall apart because of the mismanagement of fear. Many healthy people become quite sick because of fear. And we're going to be studying today about the life of a man who was mighty strong. And suddenly, because of fear, he began to exhibit some very strange behavior. I'm going to review the words of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle John again in 1 John chapter 4. And it is verse 17. I'm going to start with 16 again because I want you to see the connection between love and fear. And I want to tell you right now, the less you know and the less you experience the power of God's love, the more fears will consume your life. I'm talking about those type of fear will consume the blessings of life that you have, including your health. And the more you have of the love of God, and the more you experience the love of God, that love of God will destroy great many fears within and around you. You will be mastering the storms of life better than most people. So let us look at the love of God again and the issue of fear. And we're going to discuss it elaborately because fear is present in our life and will be present in our life all the years we live. Whether you're going to succeed in life, whether you're going to prosper or whether you're going to fail, whether you're going to be healthy or sick, it's all determined by this. How do we understand and manage the fears of our life? There is a right way and a wrong way and nothing in between. So let us look at the words of life and let us see how it applies. Verse 15 says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." What a way to establish the foundation. And that is really the key. I don't have any argument or any hard feelings with the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslim, the Jews, or the atheists. No argument. I love them all and God loves them all. But based on my knowledge of what they believe in and based on the knowledge of the Bible, I must say that it is central that if a person experience the power of God, he must believe on the love of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm making that confession clear. I don't have any argument. No hard feelings. True deep love for the Hindus, the Muslim, the Buddhists, the Jews, the atheists. God has given every human being the power to believe. And I believe there are many among them who are sincerely seeking after God. And remember, many of the Christians today are made of those who were once Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims and Jews and atheists. So don't forget that. So we love them, we pray for them, but there is no other way to a life of blessing and life eternal without confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God for the glory of the Father. And you can read that in the words of Jesus in John 17. Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you as God the Father and Jesus Christ your Son." Now John is saying, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." And I want to tell you something, that many Muslims today, and many Jews today, and many Hindus and Buddhists today, who really believe in the heart that Jesus is more than just a man and more than just a prophet. And I have spoken to some of them. And as a matter of fact, some of them asked me to pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? So it is very important to know that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is imperative for what is to come. And the issue of love versus fear, it's all resting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. That is the key. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God dwells in you. God is love. And he that believeth in love and in God, God dwells in him. Now, if the God of the universe and God incarnate in love dwells in you, do you think there's any power on earth that would ever scare you? But that is the key. When fears come, when anxieties and worries come, when distresses come, when problems of all kind come to throw danger in your face, is God in your heart? Do you really think of that love of God in your heart, or do you dwell on the problems and the anxieties and the fears? And then he continued to say, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of trouble. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Here it is. So if you are afraid, and if you let fear consume your life and decision, and kind of wither away the blessing of life thereof, you are not anchored in God. You are going about life in your own strength, in your own mind, in your own way, and God is absent. And that is the very reason why I shared with you the story in the book of Mark about the disciples riding on a boat with Jesus. He is there with them. But was he really in their hearts?
No.
When it started to rain, and when it started, the wind began to blow, and the sea began to rise, and the tumult of the sea began to hit the boats, fear struck. Their life is in danger. And they went to try to fix the problem on their own. That's weird, isn't it? That's what I said this morning. Believing with our mind alone may not be the healthier thing for us. You got to believe with all your heart. Because your heart is a place that feels everything first. And after they panicked, and after they tried to save themselves, and after they completely failed, fear of death rested, and finally someone remembered. Someone remembered that Jesus was on board. And then they go and blame their failures on Jesus. The first thing they tell him, they wake him up and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? How can thou lie asleep? Does God sleep?
No.
God never sleeps. The Bible said he never sleeps nor slumber.
He just rests.
It is our own faith that goes to sleep. That God is Lord over all. And the first thing Jesus did, even though they blamed all of their fears and follies and failures on him, and they attached their life and death to him, the first thing he has done, he rose and calmed the angry sea. And that is something wonderful about the love of God. Even though they chose to fail, even though they chose to fear, and even though they chose to lose, yet He was still there to calm the angry sea, and He ordered the sea and commanded to be still. And that is the first thing God will do on our behalf, even after all of our failures. Even after all of our failures, the first thing Jesus will do, He will calm the angry seas in our life, and He give us peace, because He knew what He brought us into. And He said, in the world you shall have tribulations, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. My peace I give unto you. We forfeit the peace and we give in to fear and all the torment thereof because we don't go to Him first. Fear has torment. Today, we're going to share another story of a man who was once anchored in the love of God, who was once mighty in valor, and suddenly he gave his heart to fear. And let us see the complete contrast between the same godly man and how fear makes us act in a very crazy way. So let us open together 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. 21, sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 21. It's a short chapter. It has two stories about David. Let us give you the feedback. What do you know about David?
Well, he was a shepherd boy that killed Goliath.
He was a shepherd boy at the age of 16.
And he used to play the harp.
Very good. God elected that little boy who was a shepherd, never been to the military, never been trained. And what did he tell Goliath? You come to me with your sword and shield and buckler, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. And then he swung the sling.
And he won.
And the giant came down, and we know the story. He cut his head, he took his sword, and he declared the victory, and all of the army of the Philistine ran before them. This is a man who scared Israel for a great many years, and no one will ever stand in front of Goliath. But here is David. And then the people began to sing that Saul killed 1,000, but David killed 10,000. There's no question that David was not afraid. Was he?
No.
Everyone was afraid. David was not afraid of Goliath. You know, remember, David killed a lion and a bear to protect the flock. So, as a young man, his love for God and his faith that God loves him empowered him to be who he is. But then the events changed, friends, like us here, so we have to watch out for our lives. As we live on this earth, events will continue to change. And it will have such a force to change us, either to the better or to the worse. Okay? The drums of fear will always strike right in the center of our hearts. So here it is. David won the victory. King Saul brings the guy in, honors him, and he think he was the greatest thing that ever happened to Israel. He actually allowed him to marry his daughter and told him to stay with him in his own palace. Thus far is good. Thus far everything is working good for David. And David is very grateful. He really never strived to be a king. He never said, I want to be a king. He just believed in the might and power of God in him, that he can destroy the enemy of God in the name of God. He was fearless. And look, that giant was very tall, very huge, with six fingers and six toes, and everything is there. Very scary. And he was a very short shepherd boy. Fearless, did not care, did not worry about losing his life. He had complete faith that God was with him. And here in the palace, we know the story that King Saul made major mistakes about the love of God and decided not to trust the love of God or his word, and therefore he lost the anointment of being a king. And he learned now that Prophet Samuel have anointed David a king, and the Bible said that the evil spirit of fear began to take the life of Saul. He's fearing now his own prestige. He is fearing the loss of his own title. He's fearing the loss of the job and all the glamour and all the property that comes with it. Fear struck his heart. The love of God disbanded. And when the evil spirit came upon him, for him to shun out danger and to deal with his fear, he decided that he must kill David. Very odd behavior that strike us all when we act on our fears in a self-centered way. Jesus said, can a man really save his life? He said, he that will save his life will lose it. When we try to act on our fear based on our own limited knowledge with self-centeredness, we end up losing. So Saul decided he's going to kill David, and he threw the javelin at David, even though David was playing the harp. Every time David plays the harp, the love of God and the spirit of God comes upon Saul. There is power in music. There is power in heavenly music and power in satanic music. Heavenly music casts out demons. Satanic music cast out the Holy Spirit of God and bring about demons. I'm sure you have saw that on TV a lot. Right close by here at Closer Bay, when they brought this music in and people began to hurt each other and several people died in those concerts, Satan was in charge. But here David was playing the harp, and every time he played the harp, the evil spirit departed from Saul. And yet, when he stopped, Saul's fear rose again, and so did the hatred for David. And he tried to kill David, and eventually we know the situation became very bad. And David went to Jonathan and said, why does your father want to kill me? I didn't want anything, and I have done did not do any harm to anybody. And Jonathan went to his dad and said, Dad, why are you trying to hurt the man who blessed you and blessed us and blessed all Israel? Jonathan had the love of God in him. And he was not afraid at all from his father to speak the truth in love. And every time the love of God and the Spirit of God spoke through Jonathan to his dad answered correctly. And he said, truly, God lives. I will not hurt the young man. And Jonathan leaves, and Saul continues to resort back to his fears. Every time he resorted to his fears, Satan came and took control. Remember that. Every time you dwell on your fears, Satan is very close by. Yes. If you don't take the right action. And again, he began to be reminded of all of these people who are now crowning David as king over Israel. And he began to plot to kill David. And Jonathan heard about it. And Jonathan went and told David, listen, my friends, big contrast between Jonathan and his dad. Who was the next kin to the kingdom?
Jonathan.
Saul dies, Jonathan was taken over, and listen, his father was training him in every way to be the next king of Israel. So you think that now David comes on, and he heard that Prophet Samuel said he's the next king. You think he will harbor ill feeling and he will act on his fears. Hey, I'm supposed to be the next king. You think that Jonathan will hate the idea and join his dad in chasing after David. That's not true. What was in the heart of Jonathan?
The love of God.
He believed on the God of Israel in his heart. And he counted the blessings. And he did see clearly the presence and the anointment of God on David. The Bible said that Jonathan loved David as his own soul.
Beautiful.
See? Perfect love casts out fears. Fear has torment. And Jonathan went and tipped David. Said, listen, my dad wants to kill you. And I understand why you are on the run. I'm going to go again to my father and try to calm him down. Because David said, every time I go and eat with him in the house, he calms down when I play the harp. When I stop, he wants to kill me. He said, okay, you stay here in that hole in the desert. And he made the deal with him. And he said, David, I will go and talk with my dad. If things did not work out, I'm going to send somebody to let you know. And that's exactly what happened. His father was determined to kill David. Fear became torment, and Satan took control. And Jonathan went and met with David. And what an appointment that was. I'm going to be preaching on that later when I come to the issue of friendship. How we can develop the best friendship for life with the love of God that never dies, even when a person that we have befriended dies. Actually never dies. Here they make a league. They make a commitment. Jonathan tells David, I'm so sorry. I have to lose you, my brother and my friend. Please go ahead your way. God has been with you and God will continue to be with you. And he will fight your every battle and defeat your every enemy. But please, don't forget me and my family. In case, peradventure, our turn comes. And David made the covenant with Jonathan. That is love. That is love. He said, my brother, my love is for you. And I will never forget my covenant with you. And the story about them later on is just amazing. So here it is, David go on the run. And Saul send men after David. I want you to look at this carefully. Saul send men after David and try to hunt them everywhere. And here's the key. Twice. The Lord unveiled to David the place of his enemy. Twice he had the opportunity to go and kill Saul and end it all. Yet, when his own men told him, David, God has given unto your hand your enemy. Why don't you kill him? So you don't have to be on the run. Do you know what David said? How can I extend my hand against God's anointed? He had the love of God in his heart, strong and pure. He was on the run. But he didn't know what is God's will in all of that. And he prayed every day for deliverance. And here he had the chance. And again, did not take it. Did not kill Saul. And you know, he took a piece of his garment and he took something and put it next to him to let Saul know, I was next to you last night and I did not kill you. Eventually, my friends, I'm glad to let you know that Saul gave up. But not before serious things happened to David. You know, during this runaway, David was afraid for his life. He was trusting God. But as he continued to pray, listen to this, as he continued to pray every day, and as he felt chased still, his faith in God began to wear out. When you continue to pray for God to help you with your fears, and God give you little events to let you know that he is there, do not let your fear doubts God's love for you. So what happened? He decided to run. I said, okay, Saul is chasing after me everywhere. Where can I really go? What can I really do? First, he thought, I want to go to Samuel the prophet. He is the one who called me from my father's house. He is the one who anointed me. He is the one who told Saul, you are no longer fit to be a king. God spoke through him, give me security. I want to go and meet with the prophet of God. But David recognized that if he did go to Saul, he was afraid. If he did go to Samuel, he's afraid that Saul would kill him. So he said, well, I am really wearing down. My faith in God needs some help. I need to go to some place. And he decided to go to that city of Nob. In the city of Nob, there was the temple of God, and Ahimelech the priest was the high priest at this time. And he said, you know, I am not going to risk the life of Samuel. I'm going to go run away 30 miles away from Jerusalem, away completely from Saul, and to seek the help of God. But remember, he was running frantically. I want you to read with me to see how he looked and how he behaved. And then many questions the Holy Spirit will ask us to ask ourselves today. What happened when we act in fear and not in faith? And what will be the consequences of that? Then came David, verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? Remember that. Ahimelech knew David. Everyone knew David. Because actually, when David killed Goliath, remember the big sword? He actually took the sword of Goliath and went to Ahimelech the priest, went to the temple and placed it there as a reward for God. But here, David is coming without armies, without any sword or shield or buckler. He looks frantic. He looks scared. And his look scared the high priest. He thought he was coming to harm him. And he was not sure, what is David up to? And he said, well, why are you coming? And why are you coming alone? He was scared of him because his face and his countenance was full of fear. He was on the run from Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, here it is, a lie. Fear leads us to lying, to protect ourselves from danger. Listen to this. David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king has commanded me a business. Is that true?
No.
No. And has said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, I have appointed my servant to such and such a place. How many times, because we're afraid of loss, afraid of rejection, afraid of suffering, afraid of words that hurt, afraid of consequences, we resort to lying to protect us from our fears. And he said that the king sent him on a mission. And he continued, now therefore, what is under thine hand? He is asking Ahimelech the priest, do you have anything to give us? Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. He said, whatever you have to feed us, we're hungry. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves, at least from women. Can you remember, in the Old Testament, the high priest was to bake 12 loaves of cakes once a week. And every Sabbath, he will dispose of the old one. The old one can only be eaten by the priesthood. Okay? That is like communion bread today. It always talked about the body of Jesus, the broken body of Christ. Okay? You don't eat it unless you are prepared to eat it. And the high priest said, at least if they did not see women during this time, because the kosher at that time was, if you sleep around, you are unclean until the evening. You got to purify your heart and mind and soul before you partake in this bread. And so he's asking David, are you clean enough to partake in a holy bread? And David answered. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about thee 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young man are holy. And the bread is in a manner common. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. Because now we are disposing of the old bread, that bread becomes okay, David is saying to the priest. That's not true. But the priest understood his dilemma. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread on the way when it was taken away. He was just baking the new hot one and trying to get rid of the old. And David said, please, we're hungry and consider us fed to eat that bread. Now, he did give it to him to eat. And Jesus actually mentioned that in the New Testament to address a different issue. But let us continue with the story. Now, at that very place, there was someone who knew King Saul. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg. An Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. Someone was very important. He was actually there praying. He was a convert from the Edomite to the Israelites. And he was the chief herdman in Saul's kingdom. But he was there to present his own vows to the Lord and his own sacrifices and prayer. And unfortunately, David was trying to run away from that. And here it is. He is faced with a dilemma. Someone saw him. And because of that, my dear friends, something horrible is going to happen in the next chapter, in which I'm not going to get into. Something horrible because of fear and reaction to fear and lies about it. Something horrible is going to happen to innocent people. And verse 8, and David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not there under thine hand spear or sword? He needs something to defend himself. For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapon with me, because the king's business required haste. Another lie. He felt a need to protect himself so he can calm down some of his fears. He resorted to lies again. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me. He said, wow, I'm glad that it's still here. Now I need it very badly. Remember before Goliath, what did he say? You come to me with your sword, with your shield, with your buckler, but now I come to you in the name of the God of Israel Almighty. What is he saying now? Fear consumed me. God must have failed me. I don't think he is there with me. Therefore, I want to take things in my hand. And he resorted to lie after lie. Fear leads us to very odd behaviors. So the priest said, go ahead and take it. Now, here's the other sad thing. He takes the sword, he takes the bread, he eats and he runs. And he decides now, well, oh, Doeg just saw me. He's going to go and tip the king, and the king will be sending men after me here. Now I must go to another place for my own protection from danger. And now he chose the land of the enemy. What was Goliath? What was his nationality?
Philistine.
He was a Philistine. And guess where he decided to run to now?
Philistine.
He said he's going to go to the land of the Philistine. You see, didn't I say last week that fear make us irrational human beings?
That's really irrational.
He said, this is a place, this is how he thought. Saul will never ever think that I have gone to the Philistines. So it's a safe place for me. If I go to the arms of the enemy, then I'm safe.
Maybe from Saul, but what about the enemy?
Fear make us reach a state of delusion.
That's true.
And delusion causes us to reach a state of mental illness. And let us see if that happened today. Very strange behavior. Let us continue to read the story. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. That's the Palestinian ground. So out of fear of Saul, he continued on the run, and now straight to the enemy. And listen to this. More fear is going to strike him more than he ever imagined. And the servant of Achish said unto him, is not this King David king of the land? The one who killed Goliath. Did they not sing one to another of him in dances and saying, Saul has slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000. They recognize who he is, and they recognize what he did to Goliath. Isn't that the one? And listen to this. David became sore afraid again for his life. And David laid up these words in his heart. Oh no, they recognize me. They will retaliate now. And was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. What is he going to do now? What is he going to do? Now let us see. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scribbled on the doors of the gates, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. He acted crazy to convince him that he is a lunatic.
Oh my goodness.
Look at that scene versus his scene before Goliath. Look what fear and the torment of fear make of us, children of God. He acted crazy. And how often we act crazy to defend ourselves against the slightest of fear. You know, fear is the foundation of lots of psychosomatic diseases. When fear gets hold of your heart and you don't manage it correctly through faith in Christ, it got to your head. When it got to your head, it got to your behavior right away. And it produces lots of sicknesses in your body. So, thank God, he acted so well. He acted so well that he convinced the king to let him go. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, you see the man is crazy. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me in my house? Who wants someone who is foaming and spitting on the face and going nuts and scratching on door to be in his house? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Let him go. My friends, a complete contrast between David before Goliath and David before Ahimelech the priest and David before Achish the king of the Philistines. What is the one character that changed all things?
Fear.
Fear. One fear was completely anchored and placed firmly in the love of God Almighty, who controlled the heaven and the earth and able to do all things on our behalf. Even if the day became a week and the week became a month and the month became a year. He never slept nor slumber, but David thought he did. Now, you got to understand, the Bible always encourages to speak the truth in love or not to speak it at all.
That's true.
Remember that. If you are confronted with this situation again, and I do that, I'm able to speak the truth. But sometimes I look at the individual before me, they cannot handle truth.
That's true.
Truth can harm them. Okay? It can harm them, even if it's about me. It will not help them in any way. It will be a tool in the hand of Satan to corrupt their character more or to harm them more. Therefore, I do not lie, but I do not volunteer truth. So it's better to say nothing.
That's right.
If you're afraid, or to speak the truth in love. David did not do that. So, why wasn't he punished for that?
If God loved him.
God understood his fears. It is unfortunate that his lies has caused the death of all the priests at that time. Caused the death of all the innocent priests by King Saul. First, God looked upon the heart of David and understood why he made those choices. First of all, David did not want to go to the prophet Samuel because he did not want to risk his life. David could have run to his own family. And he could have hid there. But he was afraid that Saul may kill all of them. David, in his own limitation, uneducated as he was, just a human being, thought in his own heart and mind to run, hoping that some lies will spare his life and the life of many. He actually had absolutely no intent to hurt anybody with his own follies and failures. On the contrary, he was trying to save his life and the life of everybody else. But in the process, he learned a very serious lesson. If you want to know how he felt about this incident, read Psalms chapter 34. He is addressing this incident and he was crying bitterly over what his condition was, how he dealt with fear in the wrong way, because after that he recognized his serious error and how he reacted to his fears in all the wrong ways. And how many lives were lost because he acted in the wrong way and lied about it. And it's going to be haunting David for many, many years to come. Yet in Psalm 34, one of the verses he wrote after that incident, he said, I sought the Lord and I cried unto him and he delivered me out of all my fears. He should have done that early on. He should have done that early on. He said, after he saw the consequences of the torment of his fear and how he reacted in all the wrong ways, at that time he sought the Lord. And literally, David cried out with bitter tears. Because now he's living with great guilt. The very people he tried to save, and the very people who give him bread and give him sword and helped him, now they're dead. Can that happen to our family members?
Yes.
Can that happen to our loved ones?
Yes.
When the Word of God is saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, and we decide to walk the other way. When the Lord said, the battle is not yours, it is mine. Do we trust that? You see, as I said last week, fear, love, and trust are the triplets of security or insecurity. Now, when David ran to the priest and lied, whom did he fear?
Saul.
Very good. He didn't fear the Lord. He feared Saul. Whom did he love?
The Lord.
Himself.
Himself.
Whom did he trust?
Himself.
Himself. What was the outcome? Insecurity. He was still on the run. It did not solve the problem. It created more fears and more terror. And give him an odd behavior that does not pertain to a child of God and not to the King of Israel. But before Goliath, whom did David fear? The Lord. Whom did David love?
The Lord.
Whom did David trust?
Lord.
And his enemy was consumed. Let us review this quickly before I read some words to you. Fear and worry are natural instincts of divine protection, and they run deep in all of us. It was, it is here in us, it will continue with us. Fear actually, in my own personal opinion, and some may disagree with me, is a gift of God. It's a gift of God to make us recognize that as long as we live every day, we are surrounded by danger, we are very vulnerable, we are very helpless and powerless, we lack the knowledge and all the power to really fix anything, and therefore urge us to cry out unto the Lord for intervention and for help and for deliverance and for blessings. So to me, it's a gift given to us in our birth, when we are placed into our mother's womb. But for every good word God has given us, the devil found the counterfeit. Didn't the Bible say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is synonymous with its twins. I call it the unidentical twins. If you read every term where it says fear the Lord, the Bible is saying love the Lord. Mm-hmm. Unidentical twins, but they are both connected to the same umbilical cord of life. That is of faith and trust in God. But the devil also have his own fear and have his own love and have his own trust. So, remember that. It is in us, will continue with us all the days of our lives. You know, when the tsunami happened in Japan, and when the nuclear reactor began to leak into the ocean, and things began to go up in the air, it created panic, not just in Japan, but in the state of California. Mm-hmm. Because the news began to say, it is moving this way. And some of the debris actually arrived to the state of California, to the shores. Mm-hmm. And everyone was panicking. People were going to the store to buy the iodine.
Right.
Panic. I went straight to my knees and I trusted all things to the Heavenly Father. And the good news is, it said, by the time it was approaching here, it began to dissolve and weaken. And there is not enough to cause any harm. But what happened to all of these people who went and cashed in and got all of the iodine out? Actually, if you go to eBay or internet, there was none. All sold out. All sold out. How about if no one said anything and it really happened? We always fear the things we see and hear, right? But we don't know that danger is always present. We always dwell and invest so much fear in the things that we know, rather than counting on the millions of danger surrounding us every day that we cannot see and God is preserving us from. Fear and worry speak to us and about us. You know, David should have addressed his fear correctly. What am I afraid of? I am afraid that my life is at risk, that I might be killed, and maybe I might suffer a lot before I die. I want to live. It is not so. It is what is in his sight. And he, if he addressed your fear correctly, then ask yourself the question, will you respond wherever you go, whatever you do, will really help you recover from your fear, or will it create more fears? You know, if you, David had prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, I am really afraid for the rest of my life. I have been praying for you day in and day out. I don't want to kill Saul because he's your anointed indeed. Neither do I really want to go to the enemy, nor do I want to lie to the high priest. Could you please take control and save me from myself? Who could have heard a different story? Who could have heard a different story? But unfortunately, he addressed his fears the wrong way and responded to them the wrong way. Okay? Fear can be triggered by the past. Fear reacts to crises in the present and anticipate crises in the future. And as I shared with you the example last week, for many of us who have parents or grandparents or family members who had certain genetic diseases, That's the past. They lived it. But many people choose to live it in the present. You know, when little things happen, as I shared yesterday before, little blood pressure happened. Uh-oh, my mom got that. My uncles had that. And you allow those triggers of the past to control your own fears in the present. And of course, if you allow it, it becomes real in the future. Fear has torment. And in the life of David, how many times Saul wanted to kill him?
So many times.
So the events of the past created reaction to the crisis of the present. And he decided that if he didn't do anything, his future is threatened. Because I have to go to some place anticipating that Saul may not find me. Okay? And how many of us are living a life of reactions to our fear rather than a life of proaction and faith? That's the very reason why Jesus said what? Don't worry about tomorrow. The song service today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow have its own challenges. Enough for today are its challenges. Just live it. Love it. Have faith in God. Enjoy every hour of it. And as God lived in the past events, He is still present today and He is in control of tomorrow. Why are ye fearful, ye of little faith? That's what Jesus told the disciples. So, unfortunately, it is also true in relationships, the fears of the past and how we were raised in our families impact how we handle fears today. And if we handle fears in all the right way in Jesus, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. But if we have inherited wrong techniques to handle fear from our own families, and it is still present, and I assure you, every one of us got a magnitude of that, either on a minor scale or the major scale. Now examine your fears when you become afraid and ask yourself, who in the family reacted to fear that way? And are you becoming a duplicate? We can choose to be that way. Or we can choose to be God's children, protected by the blood of the Lamb. Remember, when the people of Israel in Egypt put the blood of the Lamb on the post of their own homes, the angel of death passed by. And this is the angel of the Lord that is taking charge over us day and night. And our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit unless we make it a temple of the enemy. Okay? So it's very important that all of the events of the past should not impact our relationship with Jesus today and tomorrow in any negative way. If I have looked at the past, I will use it as a parameter to see how God led in the past and how He promised to lead today and tomorrow. That cast all of my fears away. I cannot worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow have its own worry. Fear is often attached to things we love, need, and value. Dread, panic, worry, and anxiety speak of our potential future vulnerabilities. Isn't that true? All of our fears is embedded in our needs, in things that we love and in things that we value. When we think that our needs will not be met, like David, and when we think that the thing we value will not be there for us, we resort to lies, deceits, sinful activities, worries, fears, reaction to fears, and doubt about God's provision and God's presence and God's power to rule over our lives. We want it now, or we will not have it tomorrow. It's a problem. It's a problem. And you know, no one can save you and me from our fears. Only Christ can, by our own choice. I have provided lots of counseling on that issue. I listen to people very carefully, and I always look at that. What are the fears that I hear? And how much faith do people have in God and how much faith they have in themselves and everybody else. When you have faith in yourself and in others and in things, it is natural. Fear is going to consume you. It's true. You know, I used to do that. Today, I just do it with the Lord only. Okay? It's perfectly okay to share your fears with others. Perfectly okay to share your fear with others, but those others must be anchored to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I say? If you share your fear with those who are not connected to Jesus, everything they're going to tell you will create more fear or will encourage you to take a step in the wrong direction. They're not connected to the vine. So if you're going to share your fear with people who are connected with Christ, because Christ in them can guide you. But before you do, pray for them. Okay? Before you do communicate your fears, you've got to pray for those individuals that Jesus speaks through them. That is what we learned. All of our fears attach to things we love, need, and value. And actually, all of our fights and all of our battles with everything and everybody is just there. Right there. Fear often says, I am in danger, I am vulnerable, I am powerless, I am uncertain, and I could die. Fear leads to defensive and irrational behavior. I have a difficult time, even as a counselor, surviving long around people who exhibit defensive, irrational behavior because of their fear. You know why? Because at that time, they don't want to listen. Because fear is impatient. Give me the answer now and the way I see it. How can anyone provide that? How can anybody provide that? Give me the answer now and the way I see it. They are not ready to listen or hear anything. And look at David. He acted crazy. He acted crazy. I always wonder. Any of his friends told him, David, do you remember what happened to Goliath? Do you remember what you said? But unfortunately, probably some of his friends told him, you know, I have an idea. Saul will never think that you went to the Philistine. Why don't you go there? They would love to have you. So, wrong counsel on fear can create a crisis of fear. Okay? And if you're afraid and you pray for someone, please learn to listen. Because you got to listen to your own fears. And then you got to listen to the voice of God over your own fears. Fear is not the end. It is always a beginning of a blessed long journey of faith. And I'm going to stop here because I went over time. Can you just slip for a second now? Very good. We're going to cover that next week. Because this is really a problem. Look at David wanting to be in control. And look what he resorted to say and to do and to become. Was he in control or out of control? Fear makes us want to be in control and to do things in our own way, even if it requires lying, cheating, deceiving, whatever it may be.
Right.
No need to. No need to. In conclusion, I want to read the words of this song that I found to be very comforting to me. How can I fear? When shadows fall, think of David, think of yourself, think of your family, think of yesterday, think of today, think of tomorrow. When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near, my Lord abides with me. When I am alone and I face the unknown and I fear what the future may be, I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me. Jesus is King. He controls everything. He is with me each night and each day. I will trust my soul to the Savior's control. He drives all fears away. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watch over me. Worries all ceased. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? I pray with all of my heart and mind and soul that is how we can dissolve all fears. When we fully trust all of our fears, anxieties, and worries about the past, about the present, and about the vulnerabilities and the uncertain tomorrow to Jesus. He is Lord over all. May He be in control over all of our lives as He steer us every day in the straight and narrow path of life and blessing through faith and trust in His love, in His word, and in His promises. And may He always and forever be Lord over all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank You for the gift of fear. We thank You for the gift of love. We thank You for the gift of faith and trust in Thee. Lord Jesus, forgive us for all of our sins in the past that caused us to fear and to love ourselves, others, and things, and to trust in all the wrong forces of earth that have caused us great harm. Today and every day, we commit our fears of the past, of the present, and of tomorrow to Your own calming power that stills the angry seas. You are our God as You are our Creator. You created each and every one of us and our families and the church and the nations of the world. Every day we are surrounded by great danger, but You spared our life and we thank You. We commit our lives, all of our decisions, all of our worries, anxieties, and fears about all things in this world to the control of Your Holy Spirit in us and to the controlling power and the guardianship of Your holy angels. Lord, be in control of our lives. Guide us in all decisions. And when the drums of fear strike, may Your Holy Spirit come speedily to remind us to trust and to anchor in Your love. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.